Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Bill, what do you got for us today?
Hey, listen, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. You can see him or go up and see him at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Give him a call at 226-9226. They've got everything you could possibly want in the line of John Deere, Honda, steel. They got it all. Got a nice showroom up there. You can go in and get out of the heat. And
it's pivotal.
Yes, right now.
And you can get your generator before PG&E gets to your power.
So you keep your AC going.
They don't sell water, so...
No, but they do have ice cold water for your enjoyment. So
you have free water at Pape.
Free water, that's right. Yeah, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da. Fantastic. Well, it's been if you live out here in our area, we went from spring, you know, that nice part where it's kind of like moderately cool in the evening, blah, 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 to, yeah.
Our spring goes immediately
somehow
to summer.
Yeah, somehow we have...
overnight.
The rotation of the Earth, I think it was the full moon from last week, lunar eclipse, caused the rotation of the Earth to get us only 2 miles from the sun.
Yeah, we did. So, we rotated a little bit closer to the sun, and we're feeling it.
Just a little bit, 2 miles from the sun, just a little bit closer.
A little bit closer. I didn't know anywhere was 2 miles from the sun.
Said the woman whose husband was a scientist on an airplane. To me, real story. And you're trapped in your seat, and you make a crack like that, and the person says, I did not know there was anywhere that got that close to the sun.
It's like, oh, boy.
Do you say anything? I chose to say nothing, but I thought, God, when she gets home.
How about them bears?
After she told me all about how her husband was a scientist, I thought, when she gets home and tells him that, he'll be like, oh, God, you didn't give her name, did you? never a dull moment. Where there are people, there are fun. So if you're not having any fun, there's not enough people in your area. Let's see. So today we kind of jammed up Mr. Friedman last time because we got the update from Israel, which was a good jam up, but kind of fouled up the information delivery. So we thought, hey, we'll string that out because the vaccines and the virus and all that stuff. I know everybody's sick of hearing about it, but we're kind of at that point where some of the factual stuff needs to come out before everybody just goes to sleep with all that fiction in their head, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of it is they're circling around again. No, circling back.
Circling back. This is a circle back group.
They're going to circle back. They're starting to circle back and find that what they said in the very beginning, you know, it could be true.
Huh.
Just because Trump said it.
A year and 2 months ago. Yeah, so we should make sure that, you know, if indeed we ever try to roll with this type of thing again, everybody's radar goes off and, you know, we don't get sucked down the mask lockdown.
Hysteria.
Mask lockdown hysteria. Yeah, because after lions, tigers, and bears, you always have to have three.
Yeah.
Yeah, mask lockdowns hysteria.
Hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Well played.
Yes.
So you're going to be Dorothy this time?
Negative. Because I have courage.
Oh, my gosh. So, Mr. Friedman, are you in there? I can't tell.
I am here.
He's okay, trying to pretend like he doesn't know us.
Our stick is up.
It was funny. It's like I thought, well, we'll hear him when he comes in, but I couldn't hear you. Oh, my gosh.
I'm here, you know. My older son has always instructed me in life to keep my head down and my mouth shut. So,
I think my parents might have said something about that, but they misfired 5 times.
And don't volunteer. I learned that one in the Navy.
Never volunteer.
God, I learned don't take your kid to sign up for any sport. Like, don't actually go there. Get him a ride with somebody else's parents. Every time I ever took my kids to sign up, I ran the team.
Yeah, well.
Or the Girl Scout troop or the CCD class or.
Yep.
When I left Eureka, they probably had to close it. I don't know who ran everything after I moved away. So you have kind of been there and done that. You're like the guy that used to be on the Dos Equis commercial. You know, the more we talk to you, you're like, he is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Oh, I am. I've got it in front of me.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Don't be a hater, Bill. So you've done all sorts of stuff. But instead of me giving your bio, why don't you do it? Because I'd like to see what you think are the most important things about what you've done. Because you've done a lot of really interesting stuff. All kidding aside, we can call you for almost any topic, and you go, "Oh yeah, I used to do that."
Well, you know, I do the research, and in my life, I've done things that interest me. And if they're not interesting, I don't waste time on it. So, you know, one of the things that I love to do is research. Because I do a lot of lecturing and stuff. And then when you do that and you're in front of an audience of 300 people, you got to make sure that your ducks in a row, because otherwise, you know, it gets to Q&A afterwards and people are going to ask you questions, and you better come up with the answers and where you got the information.
Absolutely.
Kind of like this whole, it's like this COVID thing. I mean, there is so much nonsense out there, and I don't understand even today why supposedly responsible journalists are not doing some of the basic research on all of this that I, as a non-journalist, non-medical person, you know, myself, have gone out and done. And I keep finding all this information, and then I watch, you know, these people on TV, and I find myself half the time, you know, throwing my shoe at the TV. Like, that's ridiculous. Why are you saying something like this? I can show you precisely where the information is completely different than what you're telling people. So you have to, it's like the interview with Peter McCullough by Tucker Carlson, and he basically has stated the same thing, saying, you know, there's got to be something else going on here. So if you want to dive right into this, I'm ready.
All right. Not to belabor your credentials, but I was retelling the story about the FBI guy that dropped his gun in the toilet with a group of coworkers this week. Somehow that worked its way into a conversation. I was like, oh, I'm going to talk to that guy this weekend. People ought to really head to the website and look down the page. Today is May 30th. And if they scroll down the page, they'll see all the shows we did with you. And the ones on the FBI, seriously, they were funny. They were very funny.
Great stories.
Okay.
Well, I was having a conversation yesterday, as a matter of fact, with somebody who I've known for 30, 40 years. And he is a great espouser of gun control. Which I kind of think about as being able to aim correctly and hit what you're looking at.
Uh-huh.
But he was one of these characters of, you know, it just total reactionary, you know, and I'm going, well, you know, this is kind of weird. I mean, did you ever handle a firearm? I mean, have you handled an electric drill in your life? Oh, yeah, I got one in the garage. Okay. Did you ever think of holding a piece of wood in your left hand and then trying to drill a hole in it with the drill in your right hand? Well, no, I would never do that. Well, why not? Well, because when the drill breaks through, it'll go through the palm of my hand. Oh, so in other words, you are familiar with power tools and the fact that negligence, okay, is a real problem. I said, if you will equate, you know, a nail gun for putting up wallboard in the house, or you will equate an electric drill with drilling a hole in something correctly, or a table saw or a bandsaw with a firearm, all a firearm is another power tool.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't suffer negligence very well. Oh, gee, I never thought of it that way. And I'm going, you know, look, I know how old you are. How did you get this far in life without any common sense?
I have a meme I'll send you. It's a picture of a revolver, and it says, this item identifies as a cordless hole punch. We have several different models for punching different size holes.
I love it. You know, not only that, but I try to explain to people that, you know, I have a gun store down the street, or I make it even more personal. So I've got a Glock who's sitting out here, you know, on my dresser in the bedroom, and it was there all night, and it didn't shoot anybody.
Didn't run around, commit any crimes by itself?
I don't understand that. You know, I mean, so you've got an entire gun store down the street here full of guns, and it's sitting there over the weekend, and nobody's gotten hurt.
So it might not be the guns.
Yeah. That's anyway.
Pathetic.
So today, I have new information.
Nice.
Since two weeks ago. And I want to be very, very careful about what I'm saying so that it cannot possibly be misunderstood. Now, while I am sitting here talking to you, I have open on my laptop the Moderna website. It is Moderna TX, ModernaTangoX-ray.com, and it will actually blow your mind when you read what's there. So this is not me necessarily being opinionated based on research. I'm reading right off the Moderna's website here. And we're going to talk about that. So let's talk about what we know and not right now what we don't know. Okay? It sounds like Donald Rumsfeld's famous statement. So item number one, can we ever stop wearing a mask? The clinical answer appears to be no. Now let me explain why. The size of the COVID-19 molecule, the virus molecule, is 0.01 nm, November mic, okay, nanomicron. Now, for all of the math people out there who are not subject to the Common Core, this means that a micron is 1,000th of a millimeter. To give some perspective, there are 25 millimeters in an inch. So therefore, one micron is about the width of two human hairs. Okay? Mm-hmm. One micron is 1,000th of a millimeter. A nanomicron is 1,000th of 1,000th of a millimeter. You with me?
Okay.
So far.
The viral molecule is 0.01 or 1/100th of 1,000th of a nanomicron, which is 1,000th of a millimeter. You cannot see the virus molecule except with an electron microscope. Okay, so if everybody took a look from 2 weeks ago of my PowerPoint, you saw in there the situation with the mask and the mosquito.
Yeah.
The problem with wearing masks is that the virus molecule, as small as that is, has got to attach itself to a host that is larger and that can be repelled by the mask, okay? Be stopped by the mask. Otherwise, it's like putting up a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. Mosquito is just going to go right through the fence.
Sure.
All right. An N95 mask is the only mask that is going to repel the virus molecule by itself, which doesn't happen. It has to be on a host. By a host, I mean that if you cough or you sneeze, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your nose, is the host. And if you do have COVID, then the molecule then is attached to that host. So in theory, if you are wearing a cloth mask or a surgical mask, they will not stop the molecule by itself. Molecule is going to go right on through there. Okay? If there is a host, in most cases, the host can be stopped by the mask, but then you have to make sure that you clean the mask. So you cannot continue to use the same mask all day long if, in fact, you are coughing or sneezing into it, because now you're getting this buildup of host inside the mask to which there could be virus molecules attached.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Well, everybody thinks about how gross it is and how many times you've seen people's masks hanging on their rearview mirror or wadded up on their dashboard or pulled out of their pockets or, yeah, all that. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
We go. Okay. Continuing on.
All right. Continuing on. Let's talk about mRNA, or messenger ribonucleic acid. The vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, are based on mRNA technology. Now, I am going to read directly from Moderna's website. Under the science of mRNA, it says mRNA medicines aren't small molecules like traditional pharmaceuticals. mRNA medicines are sets of instructions, and these instructions direct cells in the body to make proteins to prevent or fight disease. They go on to say that mRNA vaccines are biological software. They're not actually medicines. They are sets of instructions. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I related that to the old sheriff, you know, 200 years ago, 150 years ago, that had wanted posters in the sheriff's office. And the general population, like your cells in your body, are supposed to be on the outlook in case one of these guys on the wanted poster ever shows up in town. That's what we're talking about. That is what mRNA does. Going further on the Moderna's website, and they're right out front with this, it's actually basic human biology, okay? Every function in the human body, normal and disease-related, is carried out by one or more many proteins. So what mRNA is supposed to do is to create a spike protein, which is like the wanted poster, around your cell so that if the virus happens to penetrate your body, then the protein will recognize the virus and, in theory, get rid of it. Okay, that's kind of a simplified way of putting this. The problem here is with these vaccines, they're not really, by the medical definition of a vaccine, okay? That's a term of art, and that is what the media and everybody has decided to use, because we all know about the polio vaccine, and we know about diphtheria and whooping cough and stuff like that. If you called this mRNA by what it actually is, a piece of software for your cells in your body, I don't think you would generate enough fear in people so that they would run out and say, yeah, okay, give it to me. So when you take a look at the rest of this stuff on the Moderna platform, all of a sudden this picture begins to present itself here. Okay? They refer to their vaccine technology as an operating system. I'm reading from their website, so we're not making any of this up. This is not my opinion. It says, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. That means different diseases. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug, unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. Okay? And if you look at this, you'll learn all about this. It's all right there. How the DNA relies on the mRNA making the protein, and then you read further, and it says DNA stores instructions for proteins in the nucleus of the cell. The mRNA is the software. It is a temporary set of instructions for cells to make a protein, and the mRNA is made using DNA. So if you take this information, and it's Moderna, txtangoxray.com, for God's sake, read this for yourself, okay? And then below it says, our mRNA medicines dash the software of life.
Oh, jeez.
Well, huh. Way to hide it right in plain sight.
Here it is. Here is the whole disclosure of this, okay? So the problem is it does not give anybody immunity to the virus the way antibodies are formed after you've had the virus.
Right.
It is very obvious that if you have had the virus and you have antibodies to COVID, for God's sake, don't take the vaccine. Because it's two armies that are going to wind up clashing with each other inside your body. I have several friends of mine who I thought were brighter. And I said, you guys recovered from COVID, no problem at all. I said, and then because you're part of an HMO, all right, they recommended that you get the vaccine to prevent you from ever getting COVID again, which is nonsense. Because you can get it from the vaccine, which is crazy. And they both got very sick because they had both. They had the antibodies. The antibodies are now fighting off the vaccine. Okay? So what do we know and what do we don't know? What we know is the question, will I be resistant to COVID-19? And the answer is maybe, but nobody knows. We do know that taking the vaccine will not prevent you from contracting COVID. Whereas if you've had COVID and you have the antibodies, you probably have immunity for years that is going to prevent you from actually getting COVID. So then you kind of got to weigh these two things here. Okay? Next question. Will I still be contagious to others? And the answer is yes. Even if you take the vaccine, all that does is like Zicam for a cold. It reduces the severity of the symptoms so that you probably, if you have comorbidities, you won't die from it. So if you take the vaccine and you wind up getting COVID, you can still pass that virus on to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay. So it's kind of like when Fauci was saying, well, yeah, you can get vaccinated, but you're still going to have to wear a mask and you're still going to have to socially distance. Okay. So, actually, it's hard to deal with some of this stuff. It really is. Okay. There is no difference now in the dose for children 12 to 15.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Adults. Okay. The dose is 0.03 of a milliliter. That's why when you take a look on TV and you see pictures of the syringes and stuff, it hardly looks like there's anything in there. The dose is 0.03 of a milliliter. A milliliter is 1/1000th of a liter. Okay? The normal bladder holds about 600 milliliters of fluid. So you're talking about not quite, okay, 1/3 of a milliliter. Not a whole lot. They have not reduced the dose for anybody, even people with comorbidities. Now, I sent you the Pfizer information. I don't know whether you got a chance to put it up on the website yet, but I sent you the Pfizer information that was used to get Pfizer's emergency use authorization. And they very clearly, on the second page, right-hand side, top paragraph, they talk about the clinical populations that were tested and the number of people tested, and it was a double-blind study. So you had half of them who were given the vaccine. You had the other half given a placebo of saline solution. They tell you in there, and they're right out in plain sight, here is the population that we tested it on. We didn't test it on people with comorbidities such as heart disease, diabetes, obesity. We only tested it on healthy people. Well, they tested it only on healthy people because they didn't want to wind up with adverse reactions. So people shouldn't just automatically go run to their doctor and get the vaccine without having this relationship between them and the doctor and their health history. It might not be indicated.
One of the things to add into that little segment of it is a lot of people have specialists, especially as you get older. You wind up with, maybe you have a cardiologist that you work with, and maybe you don't see your GP all that often. I can think of a couple of cases, actually, where someone hadn't seen their GP about this whole vaccine thing and took their, should I get it or shouldn't I advice from a specialist, which you would normally think would be fine, but they didn't know this person's entire health history and all the underlying stuff, and they ended up hospitalized after the vaccine. They were someone who shouldn't have gotten it in the first place.
Well, absolutely. Now, there are studies now that have shown that subsequent to the vaccine, within 2 to 3 months, people have come down with what's called myocarditis. It's an inflammation of the heart muscle that is related to this. Now, I researched into that because I, in fact, have a distant family member who had a massive heart attack 2 years ago and then blithely walked in and took the vaccine. And I said, Jesus, didn't you talk to your cardiologist? Well, no, it was just recommended, by the GP, that I was one of the vulnerable members of the population and that I should probably go get it. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
So, people are in such fear of catching this, and I don't understand why people are in such fear of catching something that's got a 98.9% recovery rate.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've got to give my GP a little credit. Last time I went and saw him, he asked me if I'd got my vaccination, and I said no. He said good. He goes, go get tested and see if you have the antibodies and then we'll talk. Well,
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, so, and then I did talk to somebody last week that got the shot and has been sick in bed for like 3 days because they had the virus several months ago, but thought it'd be a good idea to get the vaccine, and now they're deathly ill. And so,
and I
don't think that happens to everybody, but why would you do that to yourself?
It's happened
why
to
would,
a lot more people than they're willing to admit.
Yeah. Why would
you start to delve into the numbers of people who've had a really severe response to the shot? It's a lot higher than they're leading people to believe. You know, the other one, too, is that the people who have had the virus, that's the thing. People who've had it shouldn't be getting the shot. The problem is a lot of people, and you know, like you were saying about the antibodies, we're not all running out getting antibody tests, but you think about how many people had a high fever a year ago in December and January. There were lots of people who wondered last year, like, I think I already had this. As you start learning about the symptoms and some of that, you're like, I might have already had it. Well, if those people are going out and getting the vaccine, they may account for a lot of these bad reactions, too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't technically have it because they didn't test positive. But, have you read anything, Peter, about the people who tested positive who maybe didn't get sick, who got the vaccine? Is anybody looking at that?
No, to be honest with you, that only would skew all of the studies. They don't want to look at that. They don't want to look at that because it skews up what the message is. You know, if you look at this from a numbers game, we lose roughly 3.5 million people a year from the seasonal flu worldwide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have lost a little bit less than that, about 3.2 million attributed to COVID. Now, those numbers are skewed by themselves because there are people who have died with it, and then there is a very small number who have died from it. Okay? So, if you take 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and you divide that into 3 million, you come out with 0.0004. That means 4 people out of every 10,000. That is the seasonal flu number.
Uh-huh.
Now, you notice that we don't have any seasonal flu issues this year. Didn't happen. Nothing reported. Why? Because people were running around washing their hands, which they ought to do anyway, and wearing masks.
Yeah.
Gee, what does that do to the flu vaccine industry? So during flu season, if people washed their hands and wore a mask, the chances are we would completely eradicate the seasonal flu. They have now added, the CDC has now added COVID on the list of seasonal flus. Now, what does that tell you? That means that it's going to be coming around over and over and over again, and you're going to have to get a flu shot to deal with COVID every year. Now, what does that do for the pharmaceutical industry? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, okay, to figure some of this stuff out. Now, 2 weeks ago, I told you about Dr. Peter McCullough. He was on with Tucker. Hopefully, everybody in the world has Fox Nation. There's a 45-minute interview with Tucker Carlson by Dr. Peter McCullough. He did a whole report, and I think I brought this up 2 weeks ago, on basic therapeutics. And I will acquaint this to my concierge, very expensive physician in my life for many years. I sent him this booklet, which is on your website. Okay, it's the therapeutic, the outpatient protocol. And I sent this over to my doctor, and I said, you know, on the rare case that I might test positive, are you willing to treat me under this protocol with therapeutics rather than my just sitting at home, you know, until I can't breathe, then I got to go to the hospital, then I get on a ventilator, and then I die. So he sends me back the answer. What is his answer? Well, I don't see where those drugs have actually been very effective. I recommend you just get the vaccine. I'm out looking for a new doctor.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the protocol.
Most of us have choices in that kind of thing. Peter, hang on. Well, we've got to take a quick break. No one can hear what you're saying in here because everybody's busy telling me we have to take a break. we want to return their hearing to them. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with them.
Until June 15th, when you can stand close to me again.
That's right. Put your arm around me.
After that, we'll have to put the police back in the, 70s where they came from? Send the police back to the 70s, darn it. All right, Peter. Sorry. Didn't mean to pop in the midst of things.
No problem. Humor is good. Okay, so let's get back to the Moderna website for a minute. In the Moderna website, and I'm reading again back on their homepage about mRNA, it says overcoming key challenges. Now think about what they're saying here. Using mRNA to create medicines is a complex undertaking and requires, notice they say medicines, not vaccine. Using mRNA to create medicines is a complex undertaking and requires overcoming novel scientific and technical challenges. We need to get the mRNA into the targeted tissue and cells while evading the immune system. Think antibodies.
Right.
Okay? If the immune system or the antibodies, if the immune system is triggered, the resultant response may limit protein production and thus limit the therapeutic benefit of mRNA medicines. So in other words, what they're basically saying here very, very nicely is that, wow, you know, if you've got antibodies, here's what's liable to happen, and you may not need the vaccine because we don't want our vaccine to go and trigger the antibodies developed by your immune system having had the virus. That's what this means.
Yep. Sure.
So they're aware. Okay. They're aware of the actual danger of it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But this is marketing.
Is there anything in there, you know, specifically related to the one other, well, besides anaphylaxis, the other big one? And I guess it is kind of part of it, is inflammation. There are a lot of people experiencing, you know, real big spikes in inflammation disorders. Some they already had, some that are new.
I'm looking inflammation. No, they don't specifically.
Is there inflammation in your information?
No, they don't specifically talk about that. They, as close as they get is what I just read to you.
Okay.
Let's see. Binding common proteins with the genesis and the instructions. Okay, these instructions. Yeah, so what this is, you know, mRNA 2.0. And I find it interesting that they in fact call it biological software and relate it to a computer operating system. So back to what we know, and what we know is that it doesn't eliminate the virus. It doesn't necessarily prevent death, because all this does, like Zicam for a cold, is reduce the symptoms and the symptom severity. It doesn't guarantee that you won't get it, because you can still get it. Wears off after 2 to 3 months. By the way, that's in here. It doesn't stop you from passing it on, because even if you get it and you have very mild symptoms, you can still give it to somebody else. And depending upon where they're at with their immune system, it's either, you know, going to be not so severe or severe. Okay? It just, and they're just absolutely open about all of this. So is Pfizer. So the other day, I'm in the drugstore, and they were jabbing people, and there was an elderly lady there, and she gets jabbed, and now you got to sit there for 10 to 15 minutes to make sure that you don't have an adverse reaction, which, of course, you can't sue anybody for. And what they did was they took the vaccine card, and the vaccine card is very carefully stapled to 2 pages of information, in this case Pfizer, and it's like it's the poop sheet that you get, you know, with medicine that you get in the drugstore.
Sure.
You get that little thing bent over the container, and it's probably, you know, a page and a half or 2 pages, and it's writing that you got to use a magnifying glass.
Yeah, but that has 25 pages of information in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so here are these 2 pages. The card for her is stapled to the 2 pages. And while she's sitting there, and I think, you know, I'm curious, did you read the 2 pages here stapled to the card? No. Why? Well, because those are disclosures. Okay, those are disclaimers. I said, let me read this first page here with you. You see where it says that this may or may not work? It may or may not be what we say it is.
Oops.
You know, and good luck. You are now part of a blind study.
A giant governmental experiment.
Exactly. This, oh, and there's some guys that on TV that keep referring this back to the experiments on blacks in Tuskegee, if you remember back in the 40s.
Yeah.
And they thought that they were being treated for syphilis or whatever it was, and in fact, that wasn't what it was at all. You know, so there's kind of a history here. So we have, I'm part of the control group. I think you guys are part of the control group. There's 150 million people in the United States who either have had it, had the virus, have built up antibodies, or aren't going to take it, and probably at this point have herd immunity anyway. And then you have the other half that ran like hell to go get vaccinated without really doing any research, without asking their private doctor if they have one. I've seen a lot of issues here with people who belong to major HMOs, all right, and I would not like to name them specifically, but I think you probably know who I'm talking about. And they go in there, and it's just a recommendation. And they take the vaccine. And then when I start to research into the vaccine, the fact that it's free under the emergency use authorization, they can't charge you as the patient for taking it. But on the other hand, they can't get paid by the government, okay, unless they put you in the national database showing that, in fact, you took it. Now, you can opt out of being put into the database, but you better put the card you get in a safe. Because if you ever lose the card and you maintain that you've been vaccinated, there is absolutely no test down the road that is going to validate that. So if you took the vaccine and there's no record of it, you can't prove you ever had it.
Great.
So, yeah, I mean, these are head-scratchers. You know, and but people, you know, they're terrified. Oh, my God, you know, all these people who died in the nursing homes and everything else. Yes, but there's a reason that that happened. Now you go back to Peter McCulloch, Dr. McCulloch, and everybody now from the new organization, the American Physicians Association, which is totally antithetical to the American Medical Association, which has become a complete political,
yeah,
you know, entity for the pharmaceutical companies. You go to the American Physicians Association and you read the outpatient protocol, which, by the way, they used on Donald Trump. Trump was immediately, when he tested positive in the White House, he was taken to Bethesda, and he was given therapeutics 3 days later. The man walked out of there. No ventilator, slight fever. The whole protocol from all of these doctors who have treated COVID patients are on your website right now under the protocol and the outpatient down below there in PDF format. Take that, copy it, send it to your doctor, and ask the doctor specifically, God forbid I wind up testing positive, are you willing to treat me in accordance with that protocol? And then see what they say. And if not, then I recommend you find another doctor.
Yeah, see, because that's the thing. Yeah, this is a good reason to really find out where your doctor stands on things.
Precisely. And they have been scared to death by the AMA. My doctor specifically, when I asked him for a prescription, just for the heck of it, for some hydroxychloroquine, and he said, no, he says, I'll lose my license if I prescribe that for you. And I said, no, you're not familiar with the law.
Yeah.
I said, you as a board-certified physician can prescribe horse poop for me if you think it's going to help me as a patient. And I sent him a copy of the law, and I never got a response.
You know, it's funny. I'll have to ask my doctor, not about the horse poop, but the other part. We've got to take a really quick break here for the news. We're going to find out what's going on in the news and the world, and we'll be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You're listening to We the People. Join us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Or face the fact, the crackerbugs bite us. They have no other choice than to deport you.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio on May 30th, 2021. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off 55 between Oasis and Pine Grove. And you can get all your John Deere products there, parts, sales, service, they do it all. They also have Honda and Honda generators. Get lined up for that, because I got a feeling it's going to be a bad one this year. You're not going to want to be without power.
It was 104 yesterday, and we're not even done with May.
No.
Boo.
Yeah. And also they have a full line of steel power products there, so you can go by and pick those up as well. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226. And ask them anything. They got some smart guys working up there.
And on the web, they are
papemachinery.com. There you go.
Way to convert.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Aaron.
Okay, no problem, Bill. The unsolicited ad of the day goes to
Ta-da.
Sleep Number.
Oh,
my favorite people. I was without my Sleep Number bed all week. and my Sleep Number pillow. I was without that as well. I had to sleep on regular beds. Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
You get spoiled.
I mean, they were nice regular beds, but, you know, I got to say, Sleep Number bed beats it all. You should go look. They're having a big sale this weekend. I don't know how it works because I already have a Sleep Number bed. Go in
That's
there.
That's a good thing they're not paying for this ad, right?
You go in there. You just tell them, Aaron Ryan was yammering on about Sleep Number again. I want to see that special test you give people so we can get our number. And then see, then you're like a fish on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get out. That didn't make it sound good, did it? It sound like a hostage situation. Go sign up for your hostage situation at the Sleep Number store today. You'll love it. You can find our archives. Actually, our archives go back like, like 11 years or something. And we have all of the shows on there commercial free. They don't cost you anything to listen. You can download them. They're MP4 files and MP3 files, I guess. Sorry. I bumped them up one. You can download those if you want, and they're all at wethepeopleradio.us. They are under the Archives tab, which makes perfect sense. And I also wanted to let you know the Pot tab is going to have a lot more pictures on it here pretty soon. I was out there in Siskiyou County last Wednesday where they were bulldozing over a bunch of the gigantic illegal greenhouses on some property that they've negotiated away from a guy that they arrested a year ago. So lots going on up there, and they've also starved him for water for it would have been 3 weeks and a day last week, and I'll post a picture of that. It was so sad. Yeah. Their very bright green plants are now brown and curly and crispy looking.
Yeah, ready for the pipe.
That is not that. Yeah, they're pre-smoked. Everything's pre-smoked. Yeah, it's not looking good out there. So hopefully the scourge of massive, I mean, I don't know, there's like 3,500 greenhouses. So let's face it, it's going to take a while. But maybe the people up there will get a little break.
Yeah.
That was nice. There weren't quite so many, you know, zillions of cars speeding everywhere, water trucks all over the place. It was a little bit more back to the rural setting that those people actually bought their homes in and would like to live in again. So we're talking about the virus today with our friend Peter Friedman. And next week, actually, we're moving on to climate change. He did research on both of them. Like, well, good. We like both those topics. I mean, we actually dislike both those topics in a let's tell everyone sort of way. So we'll be moving on to climate change next week. So I think that will be
perfect timing because our climate is changing.
Really, it should be up to
110, 112 by then, crazy. Maybe 115.
And if you have any questions for us or want to send us information, our stuff's all on the website there. Phone number, email, we're pretty easy to find. All right. Mr. Friedman, back to you.
I'm back. Okay, so I just pulled up off of Moderna's website their little poop sheet with their disclaimers on there. And it says the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine has not been approved or licensed by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, but has been authorized for emergency use by the FDA under an emergency use authorization to prevent, this is interesting, to prevent coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19, they use the word prevent, for use in individuals 18 years of age and older. There is no FDA approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Well, okay, that's correct. They're saying there is no FDA approval and ours is experimental. The EUA, or the Emergency Use Authorization, for the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is in effect for the duration of the COVID-19 EUA declaration justifying emergency use of the product unless the declaration is terminated or the authorization is revoked sooner. The next paragraph says, important safety information, contraindications, do not administer the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine to individuals with a known history of severe allergic reaction, such as anaphylaxis.
That would be me.
To any component of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. Well, what's in it?
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you what's in it.
Yeah, so how are you going to know if you're going to have an allergic reaction?
Because you go on your website and you go down the list of PDFs that I sent to you where you get to the excipients, and there is a table there for every vaccine around and what is in it. So, for example, in the COVID-19 vaccine, in both Moderna and Pfizer, you have fat or a lipid, all right, which is where they put their instructions. That's where the software resides. You have salt and sugar, which are used as a preservative to make sure that the fat doesn't break down too quickly. You have cholesterol, you have formaldehyde, and you have polyethylene glycol. That's what's in there. And there is the excipient list. It comes straight from the CDC, and here's what's in it. So if you want to see what's in the DPT vaccine for little kids, you want to see what's in the polio vaccine, all these vaccines, everything is right there. The usual dosage, okay, the ages, everything. It's the complete excipient table of all of the ingredients in these vaccines. Well, anaphylaxis. Gee whiz, let's see, who is vulnerable to anaphylactic shock? Somebody with a
peanut allergy,
maybe?
Yep.
Okay, peanut allergy, somebody who is a diabetic, okay? They go into diabetic shock, all right? I mean, things like that. This is why these populations were excluded from the initial clinical trials, which started, by the way, last July, and in fact ended last October when the FDA decided they were going to issue the emergency authorization.
So let me stop you right there. If you walk into your local CVS drugstore and say, "Hey, I want to get a COVID shot," and they march you over to their little waiting area, and then they set you down in the chair. Does anybody ask you any of these questions before they jab you, or do they just say, roll up your sleeve?
They just say, roll up your sleeve.
Yeah, because the lady down the street, the lady down the street, she said she got the shot, and I said, well, I hope you don't have anaphylaxis. And she said, oh, well, I do. And I said, you might not want to get that second shot. And she goes, well, I'm allergic to shrimp. There's probably no shrimp in it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you can't deal with somebody.
But they didn't ask. They didn't ask her. You know, they never even met. That was a newsflash to her that people with anaphylaxis probably shouldn't get it.
And so, aren't these highly trained individuals that are giving these shots? Aren't they trained in any way before they get the shot to ask these questions, or are they just shown how to stick the needle in the arm and say next?
They're merely shown. All they're shown is how to properly inject the vaccine.
Gosh.
That's it.
Wow.
They are not trained. I know this because I have talked to them. What kind of training did you get? Do you ask these questions? No. We just staple the card to the sheet, the disclaimer sheet, and we give it to them. I said, do you give them the disclaimer sheet before or after you stab them? Well, no, it's stapled to the card, so we give it to them and we fill out the card. So, in other words, when you're giving them the shot, you have no idea what any kind of comorbidities they might have. No. Why? Well, because if we don't give them the shot, then we won't get paid by the government.
I'm surprised more people aren't falling over. And, you know, maybe there are a lot of people falling over for the shot, and they're just not reporting it. I don't know.
Well, they had it called? VERS?
VERS. V-E-R-S. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
But that's only adverse effects within, 24 hours, I think, is only what gets reported there. And it's
if they know about it.
Right, and it's a tiny fraction of the events. And you look at how many there have been, I guess, is my point. It's not a small number that they've had.
About 5,800 of them. Yeah, if you go on the website, I can give you the website if you want to look at it. It's https://// V is in Victor, V-A-E-R-S, .HHS, Health and Human Services, .gov/reportevent.html. And there's about 6,800 cases of adverse reaction on there, but then there's also the ones, you know, that weren't reported.
I'll link that on the site for people who didn't have a pen in their hand. Yeah, because I think that's really important. It's that for me is right up there with the seasonal flu numbers. You know, if we just don't count them,
exactly,
then it didn't actually happen.
And it says right here on, under the safety information, severe allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, have been reported following administration of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, and it goes with Pfizer too. It's the same software. During mass vaccination outside of clinical trials. You see how they parse this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, additional adverse reactions, some of which may be serious, may become apparent with more widespread use of the vaccine. Reporting adverse effects. The vaccination provider, okay, not the person getting it, but the vaccination provider is responsible for mandatory reporting of the following to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. Vaccine administration errors, whether or not associated with an adverse event, serious adverse events, irrespective of attribution to the vaccination, cases of multi-system inflammatory syndrome in adults. You were talking about inflammation. If you wind up with inflammation as a result of the vaccine, they're supposed to report that. And then cases of COVID-19 that result in hospitalization or death. Now, let me take this one step further. People go out there and they're getting the PCR test. Okay?
That's for the antibodies, correct?
No, that's to detect COVID.
Oh, okay. All right.
PCR is up your nose, okay? In China, it's the other end. The PCR test, the polymerase test, was never designed. That test was never designed to detect pathogens, and it's almost 100% inaccurate if the machine testing it is set at 35 cycles. The CDC says that they are supposed to set their lab equipment between 37 and 45 cycles. And the CDC says that any test, this is unbelievable. The CDC acknowledges and states that tests that are made over 28 cycles, higher than 28 cycles, are not allowed for a positive, reliable result. Well, that means that this obviously is going to invalidate some 90% of the alleged COVID cases that test positive. So the whole game appears to be rigged. Mm. It's crazy. So you've got pilots, for example, who prior to coming to work to go fly, within 48 hours, they have to go get a PCR test and test negative before they are allowed to come to work.
Yeah.
The FAA also, pardon?
Yeah, that's the, well, it's kind of the current phase we're in, but that's really the next phase is the entire arm twisting and how that's going to work. How about this? Let's do our break and we'll come back. And maybe we can get into a little of that with what you've been reading, because I think that's the people, you know, it's funny. People are worried about it from both sides. If you got the shot and you think it works, you're terrified the other people didn't. And if you don't have any intention of getting it, you're terrified you're not going to have a job. So, I mean, I don't think it really works for anybody, but let's chat about that when we get back. And I found the theme song for the shot. Actually, they're gonna give you like a little musical 45 seconds instead of the paperwork now, because you know what? You don't need any more stinking paperwork. You just need a little song. So here you go. Go get your shot and hum a few bars with the person giving it to you.
Yeah.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be
happy. Change, change, change.
Thought I'd make everyone mad all at once.
Yeah, let's just do it. Just pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off. Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That's what I'm saying.
I live in a rip the Band-Aid off kind of house.
Okay. You're up.
No, you were going to ask him something right before.
I was going to ask you, so this is an emergency
use
product. Now that the states are going back to normal and everybody's taking off their masks and the social distancing isn't really going to be required, doesn't that kind of mean the pandemic is over? And if it is, don't they have to stop giving that vaccine?
Well, it's not a question of stopping the vaccine. I mean, the vaccine is not mandatory under the Geneva Convention, under Article 32. And it's also, legal under the Nuremberg Code,
right,
which has been in effect ever since 1947.
But they can only give it if there's an emergency. Isn't that right?
Under emergency, yes, you are absolutely correct, under emergency use. Let me just give you a couple of other little paragraphs here of safety information on the Moderna site. I mean, you can read this stuff for yourself, but it talks about pregnancy and lactation, because throwing my shoe at the TV again when they said, oh, no, it's safe for pregnant women now.
Right.
And it says right here, available data on the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks in pregnancy. Data are not available to assess the effects of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine on the breastfed infant or on milk production.
Hmm.
And then we go, I mean, so it's all doublespeak. Here they're right there and they're telling you this, and then people sitting there, pregnant women, are watching TV going, oh my, well, it's safe. I think I'll go to, you know, get vaccinated. Then it talks about dosing and schedule. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is administered intramuscularly, say that five times, as a series of two doses, 0.5 milliliters each, 1 month apart. There are no data available on the interchangeability of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine with other COVID-19 vaccines to complete the vaccination series. Now, I know people who have gone out and they started with a Pfizer or they started with a Moderna, and then 3 weeks later, they went someplace else and they got somebody else's vaccine. They interchanged it.
Whoops.
It says, individuals who have received one dose of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine should receive a second dose of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine to complete the series. Don't interchange them.
I'm sure they have no clue at this point what's going to happen if they do.
They have no clue. Now, what's interesting is in order to check this out, I went on Google and I Googled COVID vaccine cards. And then I clicked on images. and look at all the vaccine card images that are there that people, for one reason or another, have uploaded their vaccine card, being very proud of it, and you find two different vaccines listed on the same card.
Ooh.
Comes with a free space suit because they're going to all glow in the dark.
You know, oops. I mean, and then we get back to this PCR test. Okay, so I'm a pilot. I know a whole lot of other pilots, been in this business for over 50 years. And there is a whole thing going on in the pilot community here about this PCR test, to the extent that there are now, believe it or not, over 1,000 lawyers and over 10,000 doctors, and I just got this information yesterday, who are now petitioning the International Criminal Court to open up another Nuremberg trial commission to go after all of these people in the world, in all of these countries, who have now bought into this nonsense with the vaccines and everything, filing a criminal fraud suit against them for crimes against humanity, for and the CDC is going to be in there because of this polymerase test, the swab test, with the CDC, you know, saying, well, yeah, okay, set your equipment to 37 to 45 cycles, when the CDC has now admitted that any cycles over 28 are not allowed for a positive, reliable result. That skews
all of the
PCR tests.
Yeah. Well, that would explain how, you know, an attorney that I know who flew to Spain to do a case wound up basically, he was confined in a small cell-like room on a Navy base in Spain because he tested positive. Well, he had already had the virus, had a really severe case, actually. He had the virus and, against, I don't know, everyone else's better judgment, also had the vaccine. And still tested positive and still wound up incarcerated for 12 days.
Yeah, these are all breakout things. If you want to look up this lawsuit, the lead attorney's name is, hang on, give me a second here. The lead attorney's name is Dr., believe it or not, Reiner, R-E-I-N-E-R, Schulnick, F as in Frank, U-E-L-L, M as in Michael, I-C-H. He is, by the way, the lead lawyer who busted Volkswagen for the deception on the catalytic converters on all of the Volkswagen shipped to the U.S.
Oh, I bet they're worried.
And he is also, pardon?
I bet they're worried. They're like, oh, that Reiner guy.
Well, and the lead, yeah, and the lead lawyer who busted Deutsche Bank for money laundering, bribery, and fraud between 2009 and 2016, Deutsche Bank had a fine of $130 million to resolve these corrupt practices, and a lot of the top people in Deutsche Bank had to resign. There's lots of other things involved with Deutsche Bank. You know, Pfizer was held criminally liable, as I recall, too, for the largest fine against a pharmaceutical company that was ever levied about, seven, eight years ago. They were put, it's in my my PowerPoint, and they had to be monitored for 5 years after they copped to it and paid the fine to make sure that they weren't doing something they shouldn't be doing. You know, it's just this whole thing, it defies the imagination. And in the words of Dr. Peter McCullough to Tucker Carlson, you know, Tucker, you know, there's got to be something else going on here. I am not going to proffer an opinion. I am merely giving you the information so that you can connect dots that I've connected. This thing with the PCR test remind me many years ago, about 35 years ago now, when I was part of the investigation of the DC-10 when it lost the cargo door and the whole bottom fell out of the airplane. There was an American Airlines DC-10 over, I think it was Ontario, Canada at the time, and they didn't, it was a ferry flight, so there was no weight on the floors. And what finally did it was a Turkish airline over France, as I recall, it was hauling pilgrims going to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca. And with all that weight on the floor and the cargo door blew out and the thing decompressed and the whole bottom of the airplane fell out, terrible accident, terrible crash, and the FAA turned around and issued an airworthiness directive on the cargo door. And the directive, which was really interesting, was against a rapid decompression of a, and I'm trying to remember back that far. I haven't taken my Prevagen this morning, but I think it was 14 square feet, yet the cargo door itself was like 22 square feet, that the pressure hull had to withstand a 14, and we're all in the business saying, wait a minute, the cargo door is larger in dimensions than what the FAA says that the pressure hull, you know, had to withstand a lower hole in the pressure hull, okay? And, you know, you're perfuming the pig. And there's a whole lot more to that story. You could look that up, or we could do that from, you know, on another program here, talking about the acceptable death rate in aircraft engineering. But, you know, all of this stuff crosses over. This is just, this is another...
Yeah, it's the same situation. It's the same system, just a different branch.
Exactly. You got it. Thank you very much. I was trying to articulate that, you know, simply and
yeah, it's almost like the military. It doesn't matter if it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Those are just branches, but the military is the military. And this mindset is the mindset, and you just see it played out with different actors.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it happens in science now, in engineering, in medicine. It's the same thing. And it's just they've all been, it appears, corrupted. And I don't know whether there's a common purpose or a common reason, but you just can't get a straight story out of anybody unless you keep digging. And if you dig far enough, people are going to try to stop you because that's not the narrative that they want to put out politically, financially, whatever it happens to be. You know, and you go in Moderna here, it's very interesting because you go on the website and you go up to, and I'll get into that in a minute with this Eco Alliance nonsense. You get it in here where about us, and it talks about strategic collaborators, and one of the main collaborators in Moderna happens to be the Bill Gates Foundation.
Oh.
No surprise there.
And that
he's ubiquitous. We should just change his name to Mr. Ubiquitous.
Okay. I mean, just some of this stuff, you can't get away with it. And now, when you find out that Fauci now has admitted, and I sent that to you this morning, Fauci has now admitted that, in fact, yeah, it looks like the NIH and the NIAID that he runs with infection diseases may have contributed to gain of function at the Wuhan lab back in 2015. I sent you the actual grant this morning. And then he said, well, you know, but we gave the grant to this Dr. Peter Daszak, and he is the president and chairman of Eco Health Alliance, okay, in New York. And it was Eco, you got to go on their website. just take some Pepto-Bismol before you do. And then you take a look at the strategic partners for EcoHealth Alliance, and you find that Johnson & Johnson is right there. You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know where it all ends. I just can't end in any good place. I
no,
know that.
I think 5-10 years down the road, we're going to see where, you know, the results of all these shots.
I think we're going to be in a very dark place.
It'll be like, oh, whoops, that wasn't a good idea. Yeah, you look at all the stuff that has happened over time. You know, thalidomide and Agent Orange, and
yeah.
I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend. You know, we would be remiss not to mention Agent Orange. You look at how many service members we've lost due to that. And did people know about that? I'm not a scholar there, so I don't know about that. But I know the guys didn't know. They ran out.
No, I was there. We didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't know. They all got sprayed by it.
That was a defoliant.
So you look at what's going on now, and everybody, you know, you're a monster if you don't go get the shot, because then you hate other people. You're a monster if you don't wear a mask, because then you hate other people. And so it's like, don't look at any science. Don't weigh anything for yourself. Don't look at any of that. Just don't be a monster. Like, well, wait a minute. When did we start making decisions like that? That seems a little screwed up. We have to take a quick break. So I thought, you know, in honor of Bill Gates and Fauci and the other people that we can't seem to get off the front page, I found a song for them too.
You did?
I did. I found a song for them too. And we'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People. And
.us.
You can find us. You can find Bill after I pummel him. I'm going to need about 2 minutes. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
There you have it. You do see a lot of the same players, though. I'm sure as you're doing your research, you're like, was there anybody who was a surprise in the mix?
Pardon?
Was there anybody who was a surprise in the mix? I mean, a lot of these people pop up on all of these kinds of issues. Depopulation. We haven't even gotten into that part of it, but Bill Gates is a major proponent of depopulation. I'm not sure I necessarily want him making some kind of a shot we're going to give to everybody. That doesn't seem overly smart. But was there anybody who you found in the cast of characters that you didn't expect?
Actually, if you go to the Moderna website, and one of these strategic partners that they mention is DARPA. DARPA, to me, is sort of a problem. I don't know if you know what DARPA is. DARPA is the research arm of the military, of DOD. And I can read this right off of here for you. In October 2013, DARPA awarded Moderna up to $25 million to research and develop potential. This is in 2013 now. mRNA medicines as part of DARPA's Autonomous Diagnostics to Enable Prevention and Therapeutics program, which they call ADEPT, which is focused on assisting with the development of technologies to rapidly identify and respond to threats posed by natural and engineered diseases and toxins. In other words, bioweapons.
Well, that might apply.
It could.
What do you find?
I don't know who's watching the store.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it.
When you put people like Mayorkas in charge of the border, who says the border's closed, and you put Buttigieg in there as the,
director of
transportation.
He rode a bus once. Come on.
Oh, God. I mean, just, I've been dealing with the FAA and DOT and the DOTIG now for many, many years. And it's just a little unnerving to see people, especially like Xavier Becerra. What does he have to do with HHS?
Yeah.
I mean, these are not qualified individuals. There was just something on TV talking about the woman now who is in charge of the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ. They're not looking for meritocracy. They're looking for diversity. And that's fine. But I know, we can find people like Dr. Ben Carson that they're out there.
Right.
But that's not where we're going. And I don't see this ending well. I really don't. Because these people come out with prognostications. A lot of them are kids from the 60s who decided to, go to Canada instead of get drafted. And a lot of the problems that I think that we have in education today is because, you've got people like Bernadette Dorn as a college professor, Angela Davis as a college professor. We've elevated these people who were bombing police stations, the Weather Underground. We have elevated them in our educational system to a position of credibility, and these are the people who are administering to this current generation. I see this with my children. I see it with my grandchildren. Fortunately, they live in an environment whereby, the rest of the family explains how the world really works to them. It's incredible. I had one of my kids who called me as a junior in college one morning, and I went out in the hallway, and he said, "Do you care what grade I get in this class?" And I said, "No, I don't care, as long as you pass the class." I said, "Why are you asking me?" He says, "Because this guy in there is just teaching lies to everybody, and I want to confront him on it." And I went, "Good for you. I've raised a decent, human being."
Yeah.
And
hence his concern for a grade, because you know where that's going to go.
Yeah. A confrontation doesn't usually move up the ladder.
That's their first line of attack.
And I'm dealing with this with one of my grandkids right now, and I don't know how you fight this. You either go along with the program, you go along with the narrative, or you're going to wind up getting a D or a C in the class, even though you do A work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I just don't see this ending well.
I think
we're going to wind up in a very dark, dark area.
Well, it's very much the China model. You crush dissent, you propagandize, and then you propagandize some more. And you make it, the sad part to me, I had this conversation over this past week had a lot of our staff together all in the same place. And, you know, somebody had said, well, you know, if they make us get vaccine cards, you know, I'm going to get a fake one. And it's like, okay, well, on the one hand, I'm thinking, good, like, from my perspective, probably better than getting the shot. But I'm thinking that just really doesn't, that doesn't do it for me. I mean, I can't get the shot. Screw them. I'm not getting a fake vaccine card to make them happy. They can't send me to Molokai to live with the lepers because I can't get their damn vaccine. I mean, that's just not okay. And so I can't, but there are other people who don't want to. And last time I checked, those were all okay reasons to not be on the same bus with everybody else.
That's so right.
So the one size fits all model that's coming in, I just would really encourage people, the only way we're going to keep our keep our options open, as they say, is to defend our options, not just fake join in. You know, I think fake join in is the same as joining in. I don't see that it's a difference without a distinction.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And they're, I mean, you can go on eBay and you can buy blank cards now. I mean, just, there's a black market, and the problem is, you know, they're going to wind up using this national database. You know, it's like the gun control people.
Yeah, it's really, really similar.
We've got to have a national registry of every single firearm, you know, that's in the United States. Well, you know where that leads. Yep. And then you talk about the same crossover here to this vaccine thing with COVID and a national database. Okay, well, you've got to be in the database. And they say, well, if you're not in the database, you lose your card, you're going to have to do the vaccine all over again. Then they come out and they say, well, you're going to have to do the vaccine every year anyway because it's going to come back seasonally. And then you people with any common sense are just sitting there scratching their head going, okay. And a lot of them just say, okay, I give up. Stick me.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it.
And that's a lot of people have done thus far. They see no way out. And the thing is, there honestly is no way out if we all capitulate.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that is really kind of starting to bug me is all these incentives they're offering to get the shot. It's not like
you get hamburgers now or ice cream or something.
Yeah, you get entered in a lottery. I mean, they have all these new programs now. Oh, please get the shot. Why is it so important to them?
Well, look what DeWine did in Ohio. DeWine's a Republican, for God's sake. Ohio is a Republican state, basically. And they had a lottery where you could win $1 million, and some girl just this week won $1 million.
For getting the shot?
Yes. It's crazy.
What do you say? You know? It's like, okay, I'm stunned.
And Krispy Kreme is willing to give you a donut.
It'll come down to that. Oh, that's good enough.
Give him a donut.
It's crazy, it's lemmings, it's herd mentality, it's groupthink, and nobody wants to take the time to look at the numbers.
Yeah.
They don't want to look at the numbers.
Well, that's always been, you know, the case with so many things. People just follow the crowd and, you know, do what everybody else is doing. But in this case, I mean, they're messing around with something that is got some big ramifications if they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And with the numbers of people that are involved, this could turn into a huge problem down the road.
Well, that's why people should be making their own choices.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, they should be making their own choices.
I always thought it was my body, my choice. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, that's out now.
Yeah, that doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, that's out. You don't have any choices.
Oh,
that's what makes it so, you know, it's funny. I used to teach English as a second language, and the hardest part was the idioms, you know, because things we would say, you're killing me, and they're like, no, I'm not.
No.
they didn't, you know, it's like, no, that means that's funny, and then there's some, you know, funny things that are serious and all that. It's almost like we're living in a screwed up English as a second language idioms fest, you know.
It's an alternate universe.
Yeah,
it's
science is real, science is fake.
Yeah. Well, if anybody got anything out of, you know, this COVID thing that we've done, you're really going to have some fun and some interesting information next week on climate change. It's called season.
Yeah.
We're in climate change right now. It's getting really, really hot. I think we're going to call it summer.
Yeah, it's called summer, I think. Yeah, there you go.
We might have to institute another break each hour just so we can play more songs.
You're a denier. You're a denier.
So many songs, so little time.
But
for all the people
look out
who
for biological software.
Yeah.
Well, for all the people who are frustrated about this stuff, I don't know. I think the one thing we can do is shed a light on it. And I will tell you, I met some really interesting people this past week. We've got some fun shows coming up. And so climate change is but one of them. And we will chat with our guest, Peter Friedman, about that next week. And I also have, Doctor, what's his name? His name eludes me. He's basically the world's foremost expert on the sun. And he loves to talk about,
We need him.
Willie Soon, Dr. Willie Soon. And
We need him.
Yeah, he is a great guy. So if I can, I'll bring him on the week after you and We'll bring all our runners home. You can load the bases next week. That'll be your job.
Excellent. And this Dr. Simpson can keep me honest with what I'm going to say next week.
Absolutely.
There you are.
Because it's all about the sun.
It is all about the sun. And there's just, again, so much propaganda. We need to be smarter, you know, to see what propaganda is. And honestly, if it has fear involved, that's just fear porn. You know, load fear porn into your lexicon. And if it sounds like fear porn, it probably is fear porn. And if you find yourself tuning into it over and over, well, I think the analogy holds there, huh?
Yep. You're hooked.
We have a fun song to go out with. And, because, you know, this is kind of what we're talking about. And we will be back with you next week. So thank you, Mr. Friedman. We made you Dr. Friedman here at the end. Thank you, Dr. Friedman. And Dr. Bill and Dr. Aaron. So we're all leaving now. And you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table. And the bills ain't paid because he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars because they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.